Hello, this is Jim Zuras, podcast host and operator of SysRep, that's Senior Information Strategies for Real Estate Professionals. Today, I'm with Phil Atwan, who is a Senior Vice President, and Adam Nishikawa, who's the Vice President of the San Diego Region of Exchange Resources Incorporated. Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having us over here, Jim.
You're absolutely
welcome. Thank you very much.
And I know you are 1031 Exchange accommodators. And Philip, maybe if you can tell me a little bit about your company and what you do for your client.
When you sell an investment property, Jim, the federal government wants a capital gains tax. It goes to the state. It goes to the Fed. What the government has invented as of 1921 is the ability to defer that tax by selling a rental or investment property and buying other investment real estate anywhere in the country, thereby deferring the tax only by having a facilitator, accommodator, straw person who would be able to handle that and perform the functions to create a 1031 tax deferred exchange.
Our listeners are real estate professionals, and there's different levels of knowledge. So I'm sure some of our listeners know what your function is, but someone like me or an agent and knows a little bit less. What are some of the functions you do within this transaction?
First thing we do is we get set up with the escrow company while it's in escrow. So the seller is in a position to begin the process of setting up the exchange. So we'll set it up with the escrow officer before escrow closes. Once escrow closes, they'll have 180 days to close escrow on whatever they're going to exchange into. It has to be what the government calls as a like-kind property. A lot of people think that like-kind means I have to go to residential or commercial to commercial. But really what it comes down to is investment property to investment real estate anywhere in the country. You can go from literally from improved land to vacant land, from commercial to residential. It really doesn't matter as long as what you're selling and what you're buying is not going to be your primary residence, second home, or vacation home. So you can exchange virtually into any business or any property you're going to utilize for your business or any investment property that you think might be good for you anywhere in the country.
I think you have to identify some properties at that point, right?
Right.
Explain how that works.
Well, you have 180 days to close your purchase from the time your sale closes. And 180 days is not 6 months. It's actually a little shorter than that. But the government also says the first 45 days of the 180 days, you have to name the address, the specific property that you're going to exchange into. It could be one, it could be multiple properties. Under the three property rule, the government will allow you to name three properties in that 45 days and then buy anything off the list that you want to. The goal is to reinvest all the equity from the sale and put it into the purchase, number one. And number two is to acquire for roughly equal or greater than what you sold for.
So if I'm doing this, my property that I purchase is less, I'm going to get taxed on the difference?
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, you can buy a little less because the government does allow you to take out what they call non-recurring closing costs. So if I have to pay commissions to an agent, escrow, title insurance, transfer taxes, so then I sell for $1 million and that costs me $80,000. That means my new purchase needs to be at least 920 or greater, and I need to reinvest all the equity that came from the sale, which the facilitator will be holding for the client.
You set up the transaction before the escrow closes. You've got these three options, right?
Yeah, you know, Jim, really, you're really better off not closing escrow until you figure out what you're going to buy.
That made sense to
me. Yeah, contingency language is a good thing because in the market where we are, maybe not everyone who's hearing our voice will be in the same kind of market, but where we are, second you put it up is you're going to get two or three offers. And the bottom line is that you really need to know what you're exchanging into because the key to the exchange isn't really selling. It's buying better property that's going to create more cash flow. See, we as investors buy properties, so the property will work for us so we don't have to. So the goal is to acquire properties that we're going to produce income for us. Number two, we want to have our cake and eat it too. What does that mean? It means that I want to be able to enjoy the cash flow and watch it increase over the years as I'm able to raise the rent. But it also means I want to take advantage of the equity that's going to grow. I want the property to be worth more in the future than what it is today. That's the second motivation for doing this. A third motivation is not putting all my eggs in one basket. Maybe I want to take that equity and distribute it around to various properties. So as all these properties appreciate, I can take advantage of that. And if something happens in a particular area to a particular building, it doesn't destroy my entire portfolio. Lastly, I want to create tax write-off because as I'm increasing my cash flow, guess who has great interest in me? Both the state and the federal government, and they want their cut. So the tax write-off reduces the amount of income tax I have to pay off the rent that the property generates, thereby depreciating the asset, not the land, but the building itself. And the government makes provisions for that within the 1031 exchange.
You would step that client through this process, right? Have a, like a consultative role in this?
I do. Your client could either call me, they can email me, they can go to our website, whatever, and they can connect with us and we will hold their hands and explain the process. Now, our goal is not to become their tax consultant. Mm-hmm. They have a CPA for that, or not their attorney. They'll have an estate planning attorney for that. So how should I take title to the new property? They should be talking to other professionals about that. But in terms of facilitating the exchange, you know, what has to happen before escrow closes? What has to happen within the 180 days to close a purchase? What has to happen to identify and maybe substitute properties that have been purchased by other buyers or have fallen off the market, or you really changed your mind? If you can substitute those in within that 45 days, we handle the whole process and ultimately pushing the equity into the purchase of the new property so they can close on a timely basis.
Agents that are listening to this podcast that have clients are more sophisticated than, you know, your normal buy and sell type of a client. This is a niche within the senior market.
You know, I think about what motivates a senior. I'm going to be 62 this year. I'm looking ahead, and I can see that my goal is to maybe not work as hard as I have in the past. Maybe not now, but in the next few years. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to make sure that my assets are working for me, so there's always provision for myself and my wife and to do what we want. So my goal is to create more cash flow, not so much tax write-off, not so much even appreciation, but to create income. And that's why many seniors are selling their properties and going into other properties that they don't have to manage as much. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a triple net lease property. Maybe it's a what they call now a DST, a Delaware Statutory Trust. It allows you to go into other types of properties that can produce maybe better cash flow than what you're getting. You still own the equity, but you own a fractionalized interest in a very, very large building. Mm-hmm. And it's really a good thing for many elderly people, because I don't want to call them elderly, because like I said, I'm going to be 62.
But I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So the bottom line is that we just don't want to have to manage and work so hard, and we want our assets to be doing the work for us. And it's really nice, because when we do pass, we have these things in our trust. It goes straight to our heirs, and they inherit the whole thing. And then eventually, when those assets sell, they can do another 1031 exchange out of it and go into something else that's better for them.
These transactions, do you have a feeling for the percentage of them that are in the senior market, 62 and over?
You know, there, I don't know of any bureau or any way of tracking that information, but just from the experience, I got to say the majority of the people that I work with, when I say majority, I'll say 60-65% are probably over 50 or 60 years old who mm-hmm. do these exchanges. The younger ones do that too, because they've seen an upshot on equity, and now it's their chance to diversify their properties into more properties to kind of get to where the seniors are now.
Sure.
And to get to that place where these seniors today are and what they want to do in terms of create their future in terms of cash flow.
Share with me the types of people that might bring you into a transaction or that a real estate agent might want to reach out to get involved in these transactions.
Well, I do a lot of continuing education at the different board of realtors up and down the state. I do it for a lot of real estate companies and their client base. I do investment seminar for the realtors and their clients who are thinking about selling their properties and doing exchanges. I'm on the board of directors for the escrow association here in the San Gabriel Valley. A lot of the escrow people have questions. They ask me to come and speak at their meetings and educate them on the process. I do it for the CPA societies for their continuing education, the enrolled agents. I do it for financial planning groups. They keep me busy. You
sure.
get around and educate them, and then ultimately do a one-on-one with their client. Explain things, answer their questions, so they can make a decision as to what's right for them.
Sure. Now, Adam, you're in San Diego. I understand you're new with the firm. Give me a little bit about your background, kind of your take on 1031 exchanges, what you see from the senior side of things.
Well, I come from a commercial real estate background, and I worked in Orange County, and I got to see many seniors who had very diverse portfolios and really just great role models for me in general. And I saw how 1031 exchanges were able to leave their kids with money, leave their families taken care of, and just in general provide for everybody that they leave in their legacy.
You know, I evangelize that every agent should make marketing to the senior demographic part of their business plan. Part of their strategy is to generate more income in retirement through these investment properties, move more towards the income. I imagine what you're describing is income generating investments versus appreciation generating investments, right, Adam?
Correct.
Sure makes sense to me. And now, both of you, I imagine, Adam, you in San Diego, and Phil, sounds like you're doing already, would be available if an agent is listening to this podcast and maybe wants to work with you with a seminar or has questions or a scenario, right?
Absolutely. They can just call me or email me, okay. Whatever. And Just don't call me late for dinner. That's all I ask.
There, there you go. Well, they're going to be able to link to your information to the website, but I always like, and maybe if Phil, you go first and then Adam, just if you could just share your phone number and your email address, and I envision someone being on the phone or maybe with a client and they want to contact you right there on the spot. How they get in touch with you?
My direct line is area code 213-479-8800. That's 213-479-8800. I'll give you one more hint. I have a real special email address that I don't share with everyone, but I will for this podcast.
Oh, okay. It's this rep special.
There it is. My email address is 479-8800@gmail.com. So all you do is put in those seven numbers, 479-8800@gmail.com, which is my phone number. It'll get you right to me.
Nice. Well, and well done. And Adam, how about your information?
And my contact phone is 619-550-6776. Again, that number is 619-550-6776. My email would be anishikawa@exchangeresources.net. Not as exclusive as Phil's email, but we'll do just the same.
Gentlemen, thank you for coming on the podcast. Again, that's Phil and Adam from Exchange Resources Incorporated.
It's been a pleasure, Jim. I've really had a good time. Thanks for inviting us.
You're sure welcome.